everyone. Welcome to season 4, episode 12 of the I'm Still Standing podcast. This is the last I'm Still Standing podcast episode. We have decided to retire the podcast. I know. It was kind of a shock to me as well. But as God makes room for other things, we have to put some things on the shelf. And this is one of them. I will always appreciate and love every single one of my listeners. You have just been so faithful in the last 4 seasons, and some of you even before that, when we used to do YouTube episodes. We started out with YouTube episodes, actually, if you didn't know. And since then, we've had thousands of listeners in over 20 countries. It's been an amazing journey, and I will always love and appreciate every single one of you. Thank you so much for listening. May God bless you. And if you want to keep in touch, please look in the description box to see how to do so. I will be communicating mainly through our mailing list. My social media presence has also got decreased quite significantly, but I do still keep a mailing list with most of the listeners are on it. But if you're not on it, please join. You can head over to JemJackson, JemJackson.com, and you'll be prompted to join the mailing list there. And you can keep up with the ministry and what I'm doing moving forward. The woman at the well is, I think, one of the most underrated Bible stories ever. Her story is one that shows us the importance of restoration and identity in Christ. Ashamed and hiding from her neighbors, a woman went to fetch water when the sun was hottest, which was very unlikely during that day. But she didn't know that day, while doing her regular routine, her life would change forever. John 4:1-9 says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John, though Jesus himself didn't baptize, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised because Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" So number one, she was a woman. Men didn't really speak to women like that back then. Number two, she was a Samaritan. Jews had a long-standing issue with Samaritans and despised them for intermingling pagan worship with the worship of the God of Israel. For more information, you can see 2 Kings and Ezra 9. In John 4, verses 16 to 17, Jesus addresses the woman about her current situation. He says, "Go and get your husband." "I don't have a husband," she said. Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband. For you have 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the one you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." So what do we know about this woman? She was married 5 times, and the man she was living with currently was not her husband. We know that her community had shunned her, and that's why she was getting water in the middle of the day instead of the morning. Women generally got water right, like, at the crack of dawn because it was coolest, but she was getting water at the hottest part of the day in the sun, where, you know, when nobody else would be out there. Okay, so that's what we know. And I grew up in the church and heard this story enough to establish some thoughts about it, mainly that the woman at the well must have been, you know, a cheater, or I don't know, just not a woman that I would want to be or aspire to. And that's why she was married so many times. But I've gained a new perspective because none of us really 100% know why the woman at the well was in the situation she was in. Dr. Sue Edwards, professor of Christian education, she brings up several other possibilities in her blog post titled, "Was the Woman at the Well a Bad Girl?" She brought up that the woman may have been a second wife or a concubine to the current man. But what I found most interesting in her blog post actually was the fact that it was almost impossible actually for a woman to be allowed lawfully to divorce a man in those days even once, much less five times. So her getting divorced even once would be near impossible for her to divorce a husband. Jewish law reserved the right to divorce to the husband, so the husband would have to divorce her. It was much more likely that the men were divorcing her. Like, when I mean much more likely, like, it's pretty impossible for her to have been the one putting through the divorce papers. It would have to be the men. But why? Why were the men divorcing her? And of course, we may never know. But the first thought that came to mind was there something going on with her that they couldn't live with, that they all couldn't live with? Did she have a chronic illness? Was she dealing with a mental health concern that made it, you know, difficult for them to live with her? Was she unable to have children? That is something that, you know, came to mind as well. But we're not sure. And when I think of this woman, with these things in mind, I picture her very differently. I picture her forced to move on in a patriarchal society in order to survive. I picture her praying that the next husband won't leave her and cause her to be destitute. And we're not sure why, but what we do know is that she needed to meet Jesus. So Jesus brought up her history, and he didn't bring up her history because he wanted to shame her. He brought it up so he could minister to her. He saw her. He also knew that she would be integral to spreading the gospel, and he needed to meet with her in an intimate way beforehand. And isn't it amazing how one meeting with Jesus can change your life? How did her identity change in those moments? What was restored in her? Jesus replied, "If only you knew the gift of God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep." This is John 4, 10 to 14. Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." So God, Jesus ministered to the woman and let her know he is the source. He is the living water. And the woman and Jesus ended up getting into a discussion. Jesus ministered to her, and then they ended up getting into a discussion about, you know, a theological discussion of sorts about where is best to worship. And the woman says in verse 25, "Oh, you know, kind of like this is all confusing. I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, in verse 26, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." This is the first time that Jesus explicitly expresses that he is the Christ. And I want you to realize that he does this with a woman of disrepute, a woman, that means a woman basically, who is stigmatized by her community. In our day, it might be, you know, someone who we wouldn't even, a lot of churches wouldn't even be comfortable having them inside their church. And Jesus decides that this is the person, a woman, and not only a woman, a Samaritan woman, not only a Samaritan woman with a bad reputation. He decides that this is the person he wants to reveal himself to as the Christ. Okay, I want that to sink in. What's interesting is the disciples weren't with Jesus. In verse 27, the disciples return. They're shocked and appalled that he's speaking to this woman. And, you know, they're judgmental a little bit. But what's interesting is that this all happened without the disciples being there. And I don't think that was a mistake. If the disciples were there, the woman may not have wanted to speak to Jesus because the disciples would be, you know, at the side, like, why are you talking to her? We're not supposed to be talking to her. Isn't she so-and-so? You know, but this all happened right before the disciples came back to meet with Jesus. Okay, so Jesus lets the woman at the well know that he is the Messiah. What does she do? The woman tells everybody. She tells everybody. She runs into the village of the same people who despise her and who criticize her and who stigmatize her, and she tells them about Jesus. Verse 39 to 42 says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we had heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the savior of the world. Jesus chose someone we definitely would not choose according to today's religious standards to spread the message of salvation far and wide. It's even said that to this day in that region, it's a Christian region. She was the first person that Jesus revealed himself to explicitly as the Messiah. She was technically the first evangelist. There's some debate on John the Baptist because John the Baptist and some other prophets, prophetess Anna, they spoke of Jesus before he came, which many prophets did, but she is the first one knowing that he is the revealed Messiah who went out and evangelized to people. She was deemed unqualified by everyone else. She was right in the middle of living with a man that was not her husband, and he would have been number six anyways, so she still would have been shunned when Jesus decided he wanted her to do something that would change the trajectory of not only her history, but the world's history. Some of you think that you're unqualified, that you're not good enough and won't ever be good enough. I thought the same thing when God called me. I was just like, why? You're calling me to speak to your people, but I hate speaking and I'm scared and I'm fearful and I have panic attacks. I'm like the worst possible choice. And you might feel like you're the worst possible choice, that you're unqualified. But let me tell you something, just like Jesus restored that woman at the well and used her to do something she could never imagine, is the same way that Jesus can restore and use you. If you really understand the story, can you imagine the woman going to evangelize the same people who probably didn't even talk to her in the street? Like, they probably turned the other way when she was walking down the street. But she knew that Jesus is the Messiah and she could not hold it to herself. That shame she felt must have been gone. If she still felt that shame, she would not have gone to speak to these people so boldly. And that's exactly what Jesus can do for you. There's nothing too bad, too vile that can separate you from him. He is inviting you to meet him right where you are, in the pornography, the pills, the fornication. He wants you to know that you are so precious to him and that he desperately wants a relationship with you. His love for you is beyond anything you could imagine. It's beyond anything that you could do to try to separate yourself from him. And what you think disqualifies you from doing what God has called you to do and who he's called you to be doesn't have to steal the plans that he has for you. And what if the woman at the well said, I've met the Messiah, but there's no way that I can be the one to share this news? Thousands of people, or even more, wouldn't have heard the gospel. It would have had consequences up until this day, up until right now. And I'm not saying that dealing with your mess isn't necessary. Listen, I absolutely believe that our living a life acceptable to the Father is and integral is the goal. Like, that is absolutely the goal. We should all strive for wholeness. We should all definitely be on a journey of wholeness where we allow Jesus to heal our hearts, to minister to us. And that's what Jesus did. Before Jesus sent the woman at the well out to evangelize, he ministered to her. He ministered to her pain. He let her know that he is the living water. So allow Jesus to minister to you. All this speaking I do on the podcast for events, retreats, all that stuff would never get done if I focus on my past anxiety, my past panic attacks. You know, the Lord said, this is not about you. He said, it's not about me. He has called us despite what we may think of ourselves, despite what others may think of us. If he has called you, he will qualify you. If anyone listening to this feels like they're just not enough, you are enough. Your identity is in Christ, not in what people say about you, not in what people think about you. Just like the woman at the well, her identity was restored. And my prayer for you is that your identity right now, as you listen to this, that Jesus would minister to your heart and to your mind, and that your identity would be restored in him. And I encourage you to read the word, gather scriptures about identity, and read them over yourself every single day. Declare them. A prophetic declaration, like make prophetic declarations over yourself with the word of God. And if anyone listening to this has never accepted Jesus as their Lord, as the leader of their lives, I want you to know that he loves you and that is the best decision you can make in your life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if you want to commit your life to God, this is a prayer, a simple prayer you can say, you can repeat after me. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he died for my sins and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you said this prayer for the first time, congratulations. I encourage you to find a loving Bible-teaching church that will journey along with you. Meeting with others is absolutely necessary in this journey. I encourage you to read the word, get a Bible, the NIV version is very easy. The Passion Translation version is very easy to read. And start reading. Start reading with the New Testament, which starts off with Matthew. I love you guys. I'm going to miss speaking with you. this is the last podcast episode, as I mentioned. And I just pray that it has been a blessing. These four seasons have been a blessing to you, and to hopefully you've shared the episodes, and I will still be leaving them up. So I'll be leaving the archives up so that you could always return and listen. You could still share with friends and family, okay? If you want to stay in touch, head over to my website to join my mailing list, jemjackson.com, jemjackson.com. Thank you so much. This podcast would not have been the same without amazing listeners like you. God bless you. Standing for so long, I forget I stand tall. Atop a thorny pass, out of my heart lies. But I'm standing, I'm standing tall, I'm standing, I'm standing tall.